Proverbs chapter 4, we're reading from verse 7, from verses 7 through verse 13. I'm just going to title this from verse 7, the principal thing. We're going to focus in on this verse. We're going to read the others and comment on them. We find here beginning in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Father, we come before thee again tonight, asking for thy blessings and thy anointing to be upon the reading of thy scripture, and we come here again tonight, Lord, with open hearts, and Lord, that you would speak to us through thy word. Lord, help me to convey what is in the scripture and nothing else. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week we were in verses 1 through 6. We titled that Fathers and Children, showing the responsibility of both. We close in verse 6 where it compares wisdom. Wisdom here is portrayed as a lovely woman who has much to offer in bringing life and joy into the world. The whole context, beginning in verse 1, Solomon is passing on instruction to his son that he got from his father David. And of course, the instructions we have in the Bible is to all of us, in all ages, at all times. We find here in verse 7, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The word principal here, when he says principal thing, the word principal here basically speaks of that which is chief, foremost, or the head. In other words, we find here when we use the word principal, would have the ideal of highest in rank, or that which takes the lead, and it is the foundation of all other things. Now, we've already preached a couple of other, maybe two or three other sermons from chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. We've taken portions of that, and we've actually had a title associated with wisdom. Well, this will be the fourth one in the book, and we're going to go back and we're going to recap some of the things that we've said. But he said here, wisdom is the principal thing. Now, that's an amazing statement. He said, therefore, get wisdom, but with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. It is the most important thing. Nothing else can compare to it, as in chapter 8 and verse 11. We find it is the foundation of everything, and we are to give it top priority, is what he's saying, above anything else. And this principle that we're talking about, this wisdom, this godly wisdom that we're talking about, it affects every area of our life, and it determines our destiny, for without it, we perish. No one can even be saved without the wisdom of God. The gospel is referred to in 1 Corinthians 2 as the wisdom of God. So he says here, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, in other words, in view of this, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. In other words, we are to purchase it at any cost, with any pain. No price is too high to be paid, and no sacrifice too great to get this wisdom. Now, when you put it in that context, there's nothing else in life more important than godly wisdom. We're to consider it as our chief gain. We're to consider it as our chief property. In other words, it's more valued than anything else that we possess in this life. It is to be our first possession. In other words, it's to be the things that we're to pursue first before anything else. Why? Because it's eternal and everything else is temporal. This is one thing that we can have that is eternal. So we are to make religion our business, period. We're making our business. Now, let me mention to you, you don't have to turn there, but there's a parable in Matthew chapter 13. There's a parable here of the hidden treasure and also a godly pearl. In both, the man sold everything that he had to obtain it. So this will illustrate what we're talking about here tonight. Beginning in Matthew 12, verse 44, it says here, then he said, well, let me back up here. I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay, verse 44. And this is a parable. These are parables of the kingdom, mysteries of the kingdom. It says here, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Nobody's talking about the kingdom of God, the importance of the kingdom of God and entering into that. Then he said in verse 45, he says here again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. In verse 46, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So the illustration is here that we be willing to compromise everything else or to sell anything that we need to sell or get anything out of our life in order to gain this wisdom. That's in Matthew 13, verse 44 through 46, parables of the kingdom, mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the hidden treasure and the goodly pearls. We also find that as we read through the scripture, and we've turned to some of these passages many times, in Genesis chapter 32, we're not turning there, but in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 through 29, we found that Jacob detained an angel in order to get a blessing from God. He held on to an angel, wrestled with him all night, would not turn loose. You say, explain all that. I can't. I just know it happened. The Bible says it happened. And he detained an angel on this earth in order to get the favor and the blessings of God Almighty. And he got it. And God changed his name to Israel, which means a prince with God, one that has favor with God. This is the desperation that we must have when it comes to the principal thing, that is godly wisdom. You've heard me read this many times, but I'm going to read in Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24. Basically, what we're talking about tonight, when we're talking about godly wisdom, it's a principal thing. Get it above everything else in this world. It is to know our God, is what it means. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 through 24, says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So what we're talking about when we compare the wisdom of men with the wisdom of God, having the wisdom of God is understanding and knowing our God. Let me read some verses that we've already touched on. Turn back with me to chapter 1. Let me just read a few passages. I think we do have three sermons so far that actually has the word wisdom in the title of the sermon out of this book. And we're just now into chapter 4, and we're looking at our fourth title here. Of course, the word wisdom, not in it, but the principal thing. If you're taking notes, the passage I just read in Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24, is quoted in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 31. It's not just an Old Testament concept. It's quoted in 1 Corinthians 1 and in verse 31. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you're taking notes, the Bible speaks of man's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2:6 speaks of worldly wisdom, and chapter 3, verse 19 also. In 2 Corinthians 1:12, it refers to it as fleshy wisdom, that is carnal, associated with the Adamic nature. In James 3:15, it's referred to as earthly wisdom. Now, before I read here in chapter 1, we know that in Colossians 2, verses 3 and verse 8, that godly wisdom is only found in Jesus Christ. It's not found anywhere else. And according to 1 Corinthians 1:30, we have a positional wisdom when we become a Christian that we are to cultivate and nurture and grow in that wisdom. And that's the reason we're studying the book of Proverbs. Man needs to be saved from his own wisdom as much as from his own righteousness, because both are corrupt. If we were not Christians and we were not trying to follow the Bible, we'd be speaking just like the world. We'd be talking just like the world. We'd be in conversation with, there's nothing wrong with talking about politics, but our life would be centered around the two sides of the aisle in Washington, D.C., instead of biblical principles. That's how we would be if we weren't following the truth of God. By following the truth of God, we can stay out of those conversations, or we can bring biblical principles into those conversations. How do I know that? Because that's the way I talked before I was saved. And I'm sure I've talked that way since I've been saved, but I hope that I've grown over the years. So let's just look at just a few examples, and then we'll turn away and look at a few others. In chapter 1, this whole book is centered around verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. He uses some other biblical words here. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We spent one whole sermon, I think, on this verse. In verse 20 through 23 says, wisdom crieth out without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorner delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Wisdom is crying out to all that they would embrace her. Again, all men will perish without this wisdom. In chapter 2, we see the pursuit of wisdom, as we're reading in chapter 4. In chapter 2, it says, in beginning in verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. In chapter 3, we find here in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Notice verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Then he speaks about by wisdom the Lord created all things. Now let's look at this a little bit farther. Notice with me, you can put your marker in Proverbs. We'll come back and read the other verses in just a little bit. But notice in Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, we've turned to this passage over the years a number of times, but there's something I want to point out in verse 6 in just a moment that I think is very important. I want to begin reading, though. I want to read just a few verses from beginning in verse 1. Now, this is where the Lord is talking to His covenant people in the Old Testament. And He actually tells them in verses 7 through 9, He says, "For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" And then He talks to them about taking heed to it and not forgetting it. Verse 1, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you might keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." So we see the context here. They're to keep the commandments of the Lord. In verse 5 he said, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it." Now notice the next verse. Interesting that he's been talking about the law. He's been talking about the truths of God, the commandments of God. But he says in verse 6, "Keep therefore and do them," that is the law, the commandments. He said, "For this is your wisdom." So we can ask the question, what is wisdom? Well, it is the keeping of God's law. This is the one thing that separated God's covenant people in the Old Testament from the nations. That's the reason I mentioned these other verses. He said in verse 6 again, "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." What is interesting about this? You say, what is wisdom? Here in this passage, it is the keeping of God's word, the keeping of God's law, the keeping of His commandments. Notice in the book of Job, in chapter 28, Job chapter 28 and verse 28, we'll see this principle given to us throughout the scripture. Job chapter 28 and verse 28, he says, "And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." We come back to this thing about the fear of the Lord and His word, His commandments. He said, this is wisdom, the fear of the Lord, this is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Turn with me to the book of Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. And we're reading in just one verse, Psalms chapter 19 and verse 7. He mentions the law of the Lord. And he said this in verse 7. He said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. He said, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Notice, making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. Notice in Psalms 111. In Psalms 111. Then we're going to go to the New Testament, take a few passages, and then come back to our text and just go through the other verses. In Psalms 111, we have in verse 10. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Notice wisdom here, again, is connected with the fear of the Lord and also keeping the commandments of God. Turn to the New Testament and notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy in chapter 3. As the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and notice what he says, reading in verse 14 and in verse 15. He says, but continue thou in all things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, notice which are able to make thee wise. To make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice at verse 15 that it is that from a child, he says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We perish without this wisdom that we're talking about. One more time in the New Testament, a very familiar passage, James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, notice as we come to verse 13 through 18. We have two sources of wisdom in this passage, one from above and one from below. Godly wisdom always brings good results. Matter of fact, we wrote an article on wisdom. I just want to read the last paragraph. We divided it up into three sections, the meaning of wisdom and the importance of wisdom. This is written in 2015, about 6 years ago or so. In the latter part of it, I titled it The Fruit of Wisdom, and I used this passage we're going to read. And I said here in this, I said, godly wisdom always brings good results. The Bible in James chapter 3 speaks in reference to testing the tongue, verses 9 through 12, and true wisdom, verses 13 through 18. In these verses, there is a clear contrast between heavenly and earthly wisdom, revealing their origin, nature, and fruit. The characteristics of worldly wisdom are seen in verse 13 through 16, which are bitter envy, strife, lies, and are earthly, sensual, and devilish. In verse 16, this wisdom produces tumult and disorder. On the other hand, verse 17 through 18 shows us the characteristics of godly wisdom. This wisdom produces meekness, purity, peace, gentleness, righteousness, and is full of mercy and good works. It is without partiality and hypocrisy. The wise man in verse 13 is endued with godly wisdom and knowledge, is meek in his words and works. In James 3:18, righteousness can only grow in a climate of peace, not bitterness, envy, and strife. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And I close this with the fact that a harvest will happen. It will either be good or bad, and the choice is up to us. So there will be a harvest. When it comes to this wisdom, which is from above or from below, whichever one we choose, there will be a harvest. It can't be avoided, and the choice is absolutely up to us. So there's a clear contrast between the wisdom of man, the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of the flesh, from the wisdom of God. So let's read this, verse 13 through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now notice the contrast. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, that means easy gotten, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, in other words, it's unwavering, not compromising, and without hypocrisy, that is, it's real, it is sincere. And then he closes in verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There's a total contrast between the wisdom that is from God and the wisdom that is of this world. Someone came to me yesterday and was trying to tell me something, and I said, where did you get that from? And they hesitated a little bit because I knew that it was wrong. I said, where did you get it? Well, and I said, sure, where did you get it? Did you get it from the Bible or the internet? Where did you get it? And they said, from the internet. I said, if you don't have any scriptures, I don't want to hear it. It was false. And so that ended the conversation. I was nice about it, but that ended the conversation. It was, again, it was pulling from humanistic, you know, philosophy and so forth. And it was totally contrary to anything that God has to say. Now let's go back and read through the following verses before we close. Notice in chapter 4, all right, coming back now, verse 7. You see, human wisdom has always been a threat to revelation. And by the way, revelation is a threat to human wisdom. Now notice verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Verse 8, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. So we are to exalt her, and we are to embrace her. And she shall promote us and also honor, bring us to honor. In verse 9, she shall give thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. We find here that the ornament of grace, crown of glory, says there's a certain amount of beauty and dignity in the ornament of every person who has acquired wisdom. There's a certain amount of beauty and dignity in this. In verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I'll give you chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, speaks of the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. In other words, verse 1, by keeping the law and keeping the commandments of God. We will see this again in 1 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12, and then the Apostle Paul speaks of this in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 8. Well, in other words, in verse 10 again, he's basically saying, receive my sayings, speaking to the Son. And so the way of wisdom assures a faithful, let me back up, a way of wisdom assures a fulfilled and a happy life. The way of God's wisdom. If you want happiness and a fulfilled life, this is the place to get it. People think it's in the world. It is not. In verse 11, he says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. Verse 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. That word means to be made narrow. In other words, wisdom will allow the wise man or the wise woman a number of places to go that would be closed to a fool. So our path, the Lord will carry us into places that the fool will not be able to go in. And again, there's so many verses, chapter 10 and in verse 9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. And you could write down Psalms 18 and verse 36 and Psalms 91 and in verse 11 with the passages and that really go with verse 12. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Verse 13. And by the way, we hear a lot today about success. When we look in the Bible, the word is used once in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Success, if you read the verse and read the context and the whole chapter, success is obedience to God's word. That is the wisdom of God. That's success. And when we talk to one another about success, this is where we need to camp out at. He says in verse 13, take fast hold of instructions, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. And again, when he says she is thy life, this is so true. Without this wisdom, we perish. In Matthew 26:21, and in John 6, verse 67 through 69, Judas lost his life when he forsook Jesus' warning. He refused instruction. Covetousness, 30 pieces of silver, caused him to refuse the instructions of the Lord Jesus, and he lost his life and he lost his soul in hell. Would you stand with me? So to have a happy and fulfilled life, pursuing and seeking wisdom. Why? Because it is the principal thing. Father, we thank you tonight for your love and kindness to us. We thank you for the privilege to be able to come together. And Lord, we ask now for thy blessings upon the remaining of this service and the prayer requests that will be lifted up. And as we gather around the altar and kneel here this evening, we just pray for thy presence and pray for thy will to be done. Amen.